What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 2 of this week's pay-per-view point post-show podcast here from smartoutmoment.com. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango, joined as always by Callum Wiggins.
Hello.
This is the WrestleMania XL Night 1 post-show. WrestleMania just ended. We are fresh with our opinions. Not necessarily fresh with our energy. I'm tired. Callum's tired. It's been a long day. I know that you're tired even more so from what we saw tonight even, or what we didn't see, you know, and we're going to get into that. We are going to be breaking down everything, of course, that happened throughout this night. So we will be talking about the match winners, our thoughts on all the matches, pros, cons, you know, positives, negatives, whatever it might be. And as we do that, we also want to know what you have to say, too. So drop your thoughts in the comment section below if you're listening to this outside of the live element of it. If you are live, though, and you're in the chat, I see we got some people filing in right now. Peter, we got XOI, we got Wep, we got Michael Patrick, Brandon, maybe some other ones that I'm not reading necessarily right yet. But, you know, people are going to be popping up throughout the night and all. Chat as much as you want. Super chats are going to stand out more than anything for me to, like, read if I, you know, can catch my attention that way. And of course, if you want to help us out on the monetary side of things outside of the super chats, keep in mind all the other things that we always talk about. We've got the Patreon, we've got the join button over there on the YouTube side of things, same exact stuff, channel membership to Patreon. Double check that you are subscribed, though. Totally free to be subscribed, and that's actually how you can chat in the live chat, is if you are subscribed to the channel. Hit that like button on the video as well, too. Totally free, helps us out a lot. The little thanks button helps us out too. And, of course, if you pick up merchandise on Redbubble and TeePublic, then you can get entered into the Funko Pop contest that's going on right now. 3 Funko Pops of Rocky Maivia are on the line, sponsored by Fun.com. If you want to get into that, you still have some more days to get as many entries as you want in on that. Smart Madness tournament's also going on right now. John Cena against Roman Reigns for who is the top WrestleMania main eventer, which right now Roman Reigns is tied with Hulk Hogan. Tomorrow night he's going to surpass that. Keep in mind, though, that we also have our Discord. You should be joining that. Just a little shout out for that one. We don't live stream the pay-per-views for anybody who's popping up at the last minute and don't even follow the podcast or the website. F you guys, I'm not here to be a charity for that. You know what I mean? But other people, you know, we might do some stuff for the regulars and also, you know, if you become a regular, then you get some more perks that way. But, keep all that stuff in mind as we go along here for this WrestleMania breakdown. And of course, anything else we talk about too along the way here, you know, chat it up with about that stuff too. But Callum, I got a feeling that you and I are going to have some things that we definitely, definitely agree on for tonight. And then some other things we probably aren't. But I can tell I'm definitely way more positive about it than you were.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I had a horrible time watching this show. I said it in our like private chat, but I absolutely mean it. I'm gonna say it out publicly so people can hold me to it. I'm done watching WWE after this. WrestleMania's over. Not watching them at all moving forward.
Not even if tomorrow ends up being significantly better show.
It can't be, because it's still gonna have all of these shitty like 15-30 minute breaks in between it, all these matches. It's still gonna be a horrible experience to sit through and watch. It just sucks. Like, maybe I will go and watch some other WWE stuff, but I can't watch pay-per-views live anymore. They are just the worst experience. Maybe it's probably better if you're, like, sitting with other people and you're watching it along and you can chat to them and do other things in the meantime. But I don't have anybody that I watch wrestling shows with. So if I want to watch it, then I'm just on my own watching them. Mm-hmm. And it's just the most awful thing in the world. And it drags the shows on so long. I was exhausted by the final 2 matches. So I was going in and out of consciousness while watching them. So I'm going to like try and recall them as best as I possibly can. It's hard enough, obviously, having to be up until like 4 o'clock in the morning watching these.
Yeah, these got the UK time on top of that.
Yeah, it doesn't help that most of the matches on this show, I thought, were average at best. And I thought this was a horrible show.
So my long and short, my TLDR, I thought if you go back and check out the NXT thing, I thought that was overall a good pay-per-view. It was kind of like some matches, you know, nothing was like match of the year type quality, but I thought it was good pay-per-view. Heading into the kickoff, I guess the countdown, now that they call it, I was like, you know, I'm feeling like some really good energy here for Mania. This is like an easy pre-show to watch, all things considered, you know, nothing happened on the pre-show, whatever, but it was like, I was feeling it and whatever. Throughout the night, it definitely got harder and harder because of just how long it was going. So it's like, I can't disagree with you on like the amount of downtime. There's a lot of downtime on these pay-per-views that they should, if a 2-hour pre-show is going on, should cut down on. But, you know, when we've got plastered ads all over the place and they need to do this stupid Peacock commercial break thing, then every single one of those has got to be a commercial break and it's got to do a video package. And then they feel like they need to put the regular video packages in there too. And, you know, we didn't even get like the Hall of Fame parade thing today. We're going to get that tomorrow, I'm assuming. So that's another like non wrestling segment. And it's, you know, I've criticized AEW and ROH pay-per-views for being just action, 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 action of like things that I am not interested in. But it's like, man, you got to find a medium between these two. Like, WWE ones, not enough happens, too much downtime. AEW and ROH, way too much happens, not enough downtime. And it's like,
yeah. It never used, I mean, we know why it's gotten to as bad as this. There's so many more like sponsorships and so many other things that are going on. And it's not like this is the first show which has ever happened on, but it's just, right. I don't know. It's just the fact that it's actually gotten worse for me that there's less matches on these shows now. Like, it's actually, like, now I'm not even getting, like, a good amount of action to supplement the breaks in between it. Now it's just, like, there's only 7 matches on this entire show. Like, I know you'll talk about it. I didn't watch the kickoff show, but that's an extra 2 hours of just nothing.
Yeah, it's just 6 hours in total.
Yeah, and you get 7 matches out of it. And it's just, yeah. I'd say I agree that the AEW stuff is overindulgent in certain matches. Like, I watched the Ring of Honor Supercard on the show, and basically every match on that card went way longer than it should have done. At least 5 minutes, if not 10 minutes longer, most of the matches went than they should have done, and it could have been easily concise all together. But I'd say, just my personal preference, that's just, I would rather have given more action than I need than...
Yeah,
this sort of approach. I think it's just, yeah, it's just not for me to watch it live. And as I say, like, there were matches on the show that I liked. There were matches on the show that I liked. So it's not like, but it's just the experience is horrible. Mm. It's like, yeah, so it makes it harder to enjoy the matches. If I was watching this, like, I'd slept through the night, as I would typically do, and then I put on WrestleMania afterwards, and then I just went, match, okay, there's going to be a long break here, just skip through all that, watch the other match. I probably would have had a pretty good time.
Yeah, if you skip out all the clutter and the filler. And
yeah, and that's kind of how I want to approach it moving forward, because I just can't with this. It's just so, so irritating.
It's a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to feel like a chore while watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd say I'll try and stay positive for the things that I did like on the show, because there were bits and pieces. But I did also think that several of the matches on the show, I'd say out of the 2-night WrestleManias so far, this is the weakest night one there's been so far.
This overall card tonight, I felt like, I don't know if any matches are really going to stand the test of time in any kind of way. Like, moments certainly will. But, like, for instance, the 6-woman tag we'll get into. Nobody's going to remember anything except for the fact that it happened. They're not going to remember any other element of it.
No. I would say that I'll caveat that this being the worst 2-night WrestleMania where it's actually fans involved. Obviously, yeah. Everything about WrestleMania 36 sucked, but no, that's like...
Yeah, that barely counts.
Yeah. I think it's almost like it started well and ended kind of well. We'll talk about the main event, because I think we probably have polarizing opinions. I already saw Rob's opinion about it on Twitter, and I think he's dead wrong. But
I didn't see what Rock put out there.
Rob
put out there.
Yeah. It might as well have been The Rock putting that out.
The word Rock was on my screen at the same time it did that, so my brain's just like, yeah, merge him.
I just saw his tweet go out saying, like, oh, that's one of the most fun matches I've seen. It's like, I can barely remember a thing that happened on it. The only thing that I really recall is the two people that they went through an announce table and a barricade at the end, and that's probably made it good.
So now that's gonna put us where Rob is on the super happy, you know, thumbs up, two thumbs up side. You're on the thumbs down, and I'm gonna be in the there's some good, there's some bad. So I'm gonna be in the middle range for that one. I see we have a super chat here. Who was that? Let me just switch. I have too many things on my screen right now. Marquise, thank you, Marquise, for this. Night one has brought me back into wrestling. I think Roman versus Cody is setting up for an Avengers Endgame style ending. I wish I could bring Caroline into here. She's like, oh my God, I'm sick of all the Avengers type stuff. You all need to stop being nerds. And every time I come across a different thing that's about that, she's just like, you're all like gross.
She knows who she married, right?
Yeah. I'm like, well, you're stuck with me. Yeah. You're stuck with that. You're stuck with the horrible burps that I did tonight, like with the eating my pizza and stuff.
I find it quite funny the fact, like, she seemingly is not like a huge fan of nerd culture, and you hate horror, and yet you still get along with each other.
Yeah, <So. laughs> she nerds out over her stuff. I nerd out over my stuff. I happen to be in a bigger populated area of like that, so she can't escape it the way that I can escape the nerd stuff for her. And thank you, Marquise, for that. We will talk some more Avengers Endgame for sure. Which is funny because it's like, oh, let's talk about Avengers down here. But there are elements, of course, to go back around to that. I'm going to try to read some of these other chats along here. But like I said before, the super chats are the things that stand out the most to me because I do have like, you know, 9 different tabs and stuff on my screen. That's without even seeing the Skype chat with Callum and I. So I don't even know what I look like on here. I'm assuming I'm looking fine. If anybody notices any glitches or anything for our feed, let us know. Of course. But yeah, chat it up in there. In the meantime, what's Rhea's shirt at the press conference, Michael? Let us know. So the pre-show, you didn't check it out. You didn't miss anything, really. It was just, you know, the standard, we're going to run through the card and all. It started out kind of funny, though, because the four people, the quartet that were running it at first was Michael Cole. So they were ragging on his clothes immediately. Big E, CM Punk, and who was the other one? Pat McAfee. And they're going around. Michael Cole introduces everybody and stuff. And CM Punk tried to make a joke about, I'm assuming the line he was trying to say was, you can't have WrestleMania in Philadelphia without Phil. And he's like, I just thought of this. WrestleMania, Phil with the Mania, Phil's, you can't, if, oh man, I started drinking already and it's already hitting me. And it was like, wow, you're starting off immediately just with this fucking joke. But he bounced back a little bit by standing next to Big E and saying, oh, look, Phil E. And I was like, all right, I appreciate that. A lot of people in good spirits. They didn't really talk about anything that was super all that interesting. You know, they cracked jokes and all, and they talked a lot again about the whole, what they're dubbing kind of the Triple H era now. Did you hear or see anything about the Hall of Fame from last night?
I know what Paul Heyman said about Paul Levesque.
Because
That's now how he comes out. He's no longer, like, well, he takes the Triple H nickname, but he's now officially being announced as like Paul Levesque coming out.
Paul Triple H Levesque, kind of like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I've sort of gotten used to it because, like, if I ever listen to, like, Meltzer on, like, Wrestling Observer Radio, he always refers to him as Paul Levesque. He never calls him Triple H, so.
It's still weird, though, you know, after all those years.
I think I'll get more used to calling him Paul Levesque more often, probably. I think it's, like, probably time you call him, like, an actual person's name rather than three letters. Yeah, I've heard different iterations for this. Like, I know that people call it the Triple H era. Some of them are calling it the Renaissance era.
The Renaissance era, yeah.
Yeah, the Renaissance era, which is like what Cody dubbed it. I think Cody put a trademark for it as well.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's kind of, believe it when you see it. I think that it's one of those things where I'm kind of in two minds about, because, yeah, WWE is definitely in a hot period at the moment, but I could actually, in my mind, see a scenario where the end of this WrestleMania is the end of that Renaissance era. But the Renaissance era has actually happened over the last, like, 2 years or so with the Bloodline stuff getting hot again with Sami Zayn's involvement and then Cody coming back to the company. And then you've got to get to the iteration of, like, after the Bloodline stuff doesn't end, but the Bloodline stuff kind of potentially with Roman not holding the title anymore, what that kind of means for the landscape of the company.
You're more of a historian than I am. What was the era after the Renaissance? Do you remember?
I think that led kind of into the more like
industrial era. Revolution.
Yeah, yeah, I think that was the thing that kind of ended. There might have been like a little bit of a break in between with like
a new generation era the golden era and the attitude.
I mean, you'd hope not. I imagine that'd be. I'm wondering who the Diesel of this next of that next generation would be. Probably Omos or something. But yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see how that kind of all pans out. But we know that there seems to be a lot more goodwill and buzz, at least on the surface, to what Triple H is bringing to the table. And as I say, I've seen a lot of like positive praise for the production elements that have been improved. I say, like, there's things I enjoyed, and there's, even though the breaks were egregious, I think some of the promo packages, some of the camera work is significantly better than it been in the past. Like, there's very little to no, like, zooming in and out to emphasize, like, punches and chair shots or whatever, and there's no like jangly camera and multiple camera cuts every time. There's someone who's taken like a far different approach, which is significantly better. So
yeah, like if this podcast was edited by Kevin Dunn, you'd be seeing like this back and forth where people just be kind of wiping left and right all over the place.
Yeah.
They're like, it's weird to also dignify something as an era, because you kind of like, it's kind of like giving yourself a nickname. You sort of don't, you know, like people give you that nickname. If you walked around and you were like, hey, everybody calls me, you know, Hotshot, people are like, well, why? And you're like, oh, because I say people call me Hotshot. Then it's like, oh, well, I'm going to make up a new nickname for you, and it's going to be Douchebag, because nobody does that. And for you to like classify something as an era, you kind of have to wait for history to pass that era to be able to dignify when it starts, when it ends. And you're right, like the Roman Reigns angle stuff, like, is that the end of that other era and this switches over to the new one? Or is that just the, you know, Archduke Ferdinand gets shot and that leads into World War One? Why am I going with that parable? But like,
but they shouldn't be the ones that decide what the, I mean, they can decide what the name of the era is once it's done. Mm-hmm. And people have kind of classified it as like, okay, this is a definitive era. Okay, so we can call that the Attitude Era. We can call that the Ruthless Aggression Era. I don't think if they had the choice, they would have named anything the PG Era, but they did. But people did, so they've had to run with it. I don't know what they will refer to that era. If they believe that this is the start of a new era for the company, I wonder what they're actually going to, in their own like mind, rename the previous era between Ruthless Aggression and this.
Because they've been referring to it as the PG Era, but then they've, like, I've heard the reality era for a portion of
that was the punk pipe bomb part of it.
That was around that time frame that they classified. Then it's PG after that, or PG
was? It was PG before that, then it was the reality era, and then it was back to PG again. Hmm. So it's like the reality era is kind of like a mini era in between a full-blown PG era. Unless you, I think they would probably dub something the COVID era as well.
Yeah, maybe they would end up doing
or the,
that.
Or the Thunderdome era probably would be the phrase they would use for it.
Yeah, I wonder if they would try to like make like a little mini era of this and call it the Bloodline era, like, leading up into that or something.
Oh yeah, they could pretty much do that, because that could be basically. I mean, it crossed over with the Thunderdome portion, but that's when Roman came back during the Thunderdome stuff. So yeah, pretty much from 2020 to now, they could probably class the Bloodline era before this new, whether they say Triple H or Renaissance era or anything on those lines.
Now, there were signs that at least they're trying to push that. I mean, not outside of them just flat out saying it. Like, we have a new intro now, and it's not the, you know, series of quotes at the beginning of it that starts with John Cena and ends with, like, you know, having, like, you know, The Rock's phrase and Undertaker's gong and all that stuff. Like, now we've got like little graphics that are constellations, sort of. I think it's actually pretty cool. I like it quite a bit. What do you think?
I thought it was quite nice.
And they, now they have an outro too. Like when we right before we got started, we were like,
oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I wasn't watching the end of it. Like I'd had it switched off when because I know they have historically, or at least in recent shows, they've done that kind of that old school thing they used to do of doing a highlight package at the end of.
Mm-hmm. That's what they did for this. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I saw doesn't hurt at all kind of song or whatever.
Well, I saw the start of it and then I thought, oh, they're just gonna do what the video yeah. package. I don't need to. I've just spent like 4.5 hours watching it. I don't really want to.
You didn't forget already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they ended it with like a kind of like a short variation of the constellation thing where the mostly just the WWE logo popped up and it's Triple H's voice saying this has been a special presentation from World Wrestling Entertainment or something. So it's kind of giving me a little bit of the vibe of the whole like I forget what like time frame it was really in. I know it's like new gen heading into Attitude Era when it was the whole like the spinning World Wrestling Federation thing, and it was like the World Wrestling Federation for over 40 years, the revolutionary sport force and sports entertainment.
Did he actually call it World Wrestling Entertainment?
I think he did. He might have said WWE. I don't know for sure. Does anybody, did they catch that? Let us know in the chat. Oh, go ahead, see, but the shirt, what's the shirt thing? Scarface movie poster with Dominic and says Latino. I got to check that out. That's pretty cool.
But I just think because that would be fun if they called it, well, let's say World Wrestling Entertainment, because I've kind of been in the impression for at least the last like 10 years or so that WWE just stands for WWE. It's not an acronym anymore. It's just WWE.
They do still have, I think, on like maybe the corporate website and stuff. Like they do still have some things listed. Yeah, like if you Google WWE corporate, it's listed as World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated.
Yeah.
But they mostly just go with WWE because I guess they're
I imagine that was a Vince call anyway, so they could just revert away from that anyway.
It could be. Wikipedia still has them listed out.
I would say with almost 100% certainty that was a Vince call to just always say WWE and not really refer to it as the World Wrestling Federation or World Wrestling Entertainment because it has the word wrestling in it and he doesn't like that. So
he doesn't like full names.
Yeah.
He'll be like, I got a list of names we need to shorten down. Alexander Rusev, Antonio Cesaro, World Wrestling Entertainment. And they're like, wait a minute, that's the company. And he's like, God damn it, I told you. And by the way, you can't say hospital either. So, But they've been really hitting hard this, like, it's not Vince anymore type of response. Like the Triple H era, the Renaissance era, the whatever you want to call it, that they're going to in the future. They have the new intro. They had Triple H start off the pay-per-view tonight, just welcoming everybody to WrestleMania, flat out saying, welcome to a new time, welcome to a new era, welcome to WrestleMania. So it's, again, like you're saying it's a new era. And certain elements of the show, NXT, Stand and Deliver, do make me think, like, all right, they're heading in a direction here. They're not just saying it the way that they did for like WrestleMania 34. And we were like, this is the same shit as was the week before. There's nothing different. But you can't really tell until, certainly you can't tell until Monday Night Raw is over. Because even tomorrow night, who knows what happens on Raw that resets some stuff. And we've seen like last year, the Raw after WrestleMania was like a garbage response to a problematic WrestleMania. So you never know if it's going to be like, oh, this is start a new era, and everybody goes, ooh, I don't know if I really want to watch this era. But they do seem like they're trying for that, and it seems like most people are very interested in like being very happy that Vince is not around, and also that's given me some more positive energy to this, and that helped, you know, carry that on throughout the night a little bit. But again, like we said, like 6 hours later, you're like, all right, some of these matches should have been a little bit, maybe a little bit shorter. And then instead of some of the filler, you throw a couple more matches in there. Maybe we could have gotten away with like 10 matches on this night, and that would have been a better option. And maybe some of them would have been a little bit better if they were a little bit shorter. Maybe some of them would have been better actually having like a little gimmick to it or something. But the first match of the night, kicking things off, was the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley going in as champion, Becky Lynch going in as challenger. Becky having an intro that was like quotes of her book. I wasn't a big fan of that one. No, it's not my favorite entrance of all time, that's for sure.
I mean, I know that this is the way they approach it. I didn't like the fact that it was CG. I would have preferred it if she was, and I know that's kind of this kind of like, again, more of an old school thing, but if she came out on a physical version of her book.
She rides out on the book. It's like
or like a physical book opens and she walks out from like inside of it or something. Like, I think that that would have been, well, I think it would have just felt a bit more interesting and a bit more of like unique entrance as opposed to I'm actually just walking out. That's all I'm doing. But the people at home, so everyone in the crowd is just seeing me walking out.
Yeah.
Because obviously the CG's not there, and just everyone at home is just watching. But it's just another iteration of like the thing of the thing that's pervading not just WWE but all sports and media. It's just, it's all about what the TV viewer sees. Mm-hmm. Like the people in the crowd are just there to be window dressing.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's obviously it's a lot cheaper to just make a graphic, put it up on the screen, than try to build a giant thing that she could pop out of, like Rey Mysterio or something. Mm. That would have been kind of fun, you know. She pops up like a little bookmark. But Rhea had a special entrance. I don't know the name of the band. Some band played her to the ring, and you know, that's cool, I guess. I don't know. Doesn't do anything for me. But even more so than we were talking about this ahead of time, where we were all kind of in the same like maybe Rhea Ripley should win camp. The way that the crowd was reacting, it's like, yeah, they have to have Rhea Ripley retain here. And after a match that is fine, it wasn't anything super special. It's not going to be a match of the year thing. I'm not going to be able to remember specifics about it tomorrow, probably even. They just had a fine enough match, and Rhea Ripley retains. And I thought that they did their job fine enough. Just happens to not be like... And again, like, we'll say this about a lot of things. We always say this for, like, you know, certain pay-per-views and certain other things, movie reviews and stuff, too. If something's a 6 out of 10, that's fine. Not everything has to be a 0 or a 9.5 or a 10. Like, I, of course, want everything to be a 10 out of 10, the most amazing thing ever, because why would you want anything to be less than amazing? But this was fine. And that doesn't mean that it's awful. Just wasn't great.
Yeah, I thought it was a good match, which was slightly, I'd say like it was still good, but it was disappointing because I thought that they could have had a great match.
Mm-hmm. I think they could have done better.
I think they brought up quite a few times during the match and commentary about both Rhea Ripley obviously carrying the wrist injury going into this, and then also Becky Lynch had been suffering with strep throat for.
Oh, that's what she was sick. I heard them say something about her sick, but I didn't. No, if they specified what.
Yeah, she said that at one point she had like a fever of 102 at some point during the week. So I think they were kind of putting the idea out there that these two aren't really 100%. So they're going to do the best they possibly can. I think they had a good match. I think it saves some room for maybe later on in the year or something, or later on down the line if they are in a bit of a healthier state, they can do a rematch and see what they can do there. So I think they kind of just had to do the best they could with their current physical limitations. But yeah, it was a good opener, but it wasn't anything spectacular. It definitely did not come close to eclipsing or even matching. Oh no, or like the Bianca Becky match or the Rhea Charlotte match from last year, like didn't come close to touching either of those. So,
which is interesting, because I think that the three of us, I mean, I don't know what Rob's opinion about this match necessarily is. I'll try to get Rob's opinion.
He probably loved it. Here. He probably loved it. He probably was jumping up and down in the middle of his room.
I think like the three of us kind of all have the same opinion that push comes to shove, we would pick Becky in a match over Charlotte as far as like match quality. Right? On that board. I mean, it depends on certain opponents, in most cases.
I mean, there is something different about Big Matt Charlotte when she's motivated and she's interested in doing something. She can go with the best of them, obviously, but that happens few and far between. More often than not, you get a quite either, I would say, unmotivated but maybe a bit disinterested Charlotte Flair wrestling, and that leads to some sloppiness. Becky is the best one to have for like around the clock. Basically, I've got this random show that's happening. Yeah, this week, which two of them I'm gonna go with Becky because she's the safer pair of hands.
But Charlotte for Mania, Becky for all the other shows.
I mean, that's pretty much how WWE would, at least in the past, would have approached it. But but yeah, I think that these two have the potential in them to have a better match than this. It just didn't happen on this show, which is like, again, it's unfortunate because WrestleMania is the opener of the entire weekend. So you really want to like show out there. And as I say, they had a good match, but it's nothing that's going to be like written about in the long-term thing. It's nothing that's going to kind of appear on like a WrestleMania showcase mode in their video games, or it's something they're going to bring up multiple times over. It's just, you know, it was a good match that happened on this show.
When we get the list of the top like 30 matches of 2024, like they might throw that in there in the 20s something range and just try to convince people that it was one of the best. But like, this isn't on my match of the year. Nothing that happened tonight is on my match of the year in the list. Same for NXT as well. Just putting it out there for anybody that's wondering. Oh, we have a super chat from Ashton. Thank you, Ashton. Imagine if the roles were reversed and AEW did the EVP angle where they threatened refs mid-match was after WWE did this with Dwayne. Is that in reference to something in the chat or...
I think it's more of a case of, I think you were just talking about like some stuff that's happening in the main event stuff. So about The Rock threatening the referee and how Matt and Nick Jackson have done that in some previous matches with their EVP angle now. So it's basically just pushing the idea of, as I say, I don't really want to drive too much like AEW comparisons on this show if necessary, but it's a case of, if let's say that WWE did this first or did this thing and then the Bucks started to incorporate that into their matches, everyone would say, oh, AEW's copying WWE. Yeah. But now the fact that they're doing it, they're probably just, I'm sure, like more WWE drones. I'm sure plenty of people that are more on the AEW leaning side of things are calling that out. It's just, you know.
Yeah, it's the same as the other tribalism stuff we've talked about before, which like, I don't think either side's copying each other for a lot of these little things. And
well, I don't care if they are copying them. It's like, these are just like small details, really. It's like, if it works for the story and the character you're doing, then fine, do it. It's like, it's not good. Like, as long as you're not being absolutely blatant about it.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, if you do an angle, like, the Young Bucks have EVP control that they abuse and stuff, and it's like, they should do that kind of heel shit. And The Rock should be doing that stuff heel too.
Yeah, but it makes sense to the characters.
When they do something like, we're going to have the Renegade instead of the Ultimate Warrior, then you're like, okay. I don't think you really need to do that copy-paste sort of thing. It doesn't go over that well when you have fake Diesel and fake Razor.
Yeah, it gets to that point. I mean, I kind of feel like more look back at it, maybe the Wardlow being pretty much Goldberg was probably an example of that. But I think they've both done things where they have like more blatantly copied each other. But these ones, it makes sense for both of their characters, so they should be doing it anyway.
Yeah, and if any WWE fans would be complaining about like that other way around or something, like,
I don't listen to it.
Those people have to just like, yeah, they gotta...
But don't listen to those hardcore WWE or AEW fans. Just listen to the people in the middle that can see both sides of things.
Yeah. Ashton's follow up. I don't care. Both sides should be able to agree. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the type of thing that, like, I'm sure, like, Rhea Ripley and Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch are going to go down in some people's minds as, like, wow, it's the best match I've ever seen and all that, because, you know, everybody has their different opinions and stuff. But I think it was fine. And I do think that there was a step up when it comes to the next match. That was the 6-pack ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles, which we had said before for I don't know how long we've been saying, why aren't they splitting these belts? And we thought of like maybe moderately about 7 times since they had unified those belts. Did we have enough of a pitch on this podcast of being like, I think that this could work this way? And then they just never did. And finally, when they started to book this match, and they started especially to refer to this as the match ends when all 4 titles are taken down, that's when we started to get into like, okay, there's no way they can't split these belts up at this point. And as far as like a preamble type stuff, they had some kind of funny stuff here. Like Awesome Truth didn't get a chance to rap at all. It was really kind of embarrassing. It was like a... you know, people over there, what's up? Okay, that's it.
Well, I mean, you know what would be more embarrassing?
if the Miz would have been able to continue rapping.
Yeah, if they continue rapping, yeah.
I thought that it was funny. DIY had ring gear and new shirt merch and everything that was like very DX patterned. I thought that that was a good way to like lean into that.
I thought it was funny as well that New Catch Republic came out with the Awesome Truth, and they had the Awesome Truth's background still on there for about like 15, 20 seconds while they were coming out.
Yeah, so it just didn't fit at all.
I do appreciate the fact that commentary buried the production team for doing that. So that was
they didn't catch that.
Yeah.
What did they say?
They basically just said, it's actually New Catch Republic coming out, because they still had an Awesome Truth thing about that. And they just said, oh, I mean, they've only just gotten together a couple of months ago, so it takes a bit of time to get all this stuff sorted out. So it's so I think in a way they were placating it, but they, in reality they were burying them. But I'm totally fine with them doing that, because it's a dumb thing.
But like you said,
it doesn't hurt anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said though, they're like the production stuff has been so much better in WWE lately. Like the new shots that they are trying out, the editing is just better. And
but it was like obvious with the coming out to this thing as well, because I know we talked about the entrance themes a little bit more, but I'm super like hearing both New Catch Republic's one where they say New Catch Republic at the start of it, and then A Town Down Under's one as well where they say A Town Down Under. It's like, how about make more memorable music rather than having to say the name of your faction at the start of your entrance to make people realize that that's what team's coming out?
Yeah, I hate this era of you start a match off and it's like Bronson Reed. Okay, let's get into his theme, and then like, you know, Andrade, then it's his theme and all. Actually, Andrade's doesn't do it, I don't think, which it used to. Like it used to say El Idolo at the beginning of it, but some cool ring gear for Damian Priest and Finn Balor. I like that. And this match, pretty much from start to finish, was just like a lot of fun. You had moments like that airplane spin that Tyler Bate did, where he's holding on to Balor, who's holding on to a ladder. So he's like spinning around with both. Double moonsault to the outside from New Catch Republic. R-Truth, of course, had his moments where he's waiting for somebody to give him a hot tag and then he goes for a pinfall, which is just like, you know, I love R-Truth's bit. And I was surprised that like midway through the match, A Town Down Under grabs the SmackDown titles. And I just assumed, you know, across the board, okay, well, we're going to have that split, but it's going to happen where both sets of new champions are going to be pulling it down at the same time. Not for it to be like, all right, Theory and Waller grab the belts. And then there's an awkward like minute or so where it's like, what do we do? The rest of the match is still going on. Oh, we can go for the Raw titles too. Let's, you know, whatever, and start working on that. That was a little bit flunky to me. I didn't really like that part, but it also kind of made it a little bit interesting to certain people in the crowd though. Cause we were talking, I think we might've been on the air still, about like what happens if the belts come down and does the audience just assume that the match is over just because people are stupid. And it didn't seem like that was the case. It seemed like they realized like the match is going to continue to keep going. So that was at least they bounced back from that. But what did you think about the whole like midway through, we already have a split?
Oh, I was pretty confident that was the way they were going to do it. I don't think that I didn't believe they were going to take both titles down at the same time. I thought that they were going to do a similar thing to the last time they did anything that even resembled this kind of thing was WrestleMania 2000, where it was a triple threat match with both Kurt Angle's Intercontinental and European titles being defended in the same match against Jericho and Benoit, and whichever one scored the first pinfall won the Intercontinental title, and then won the second one won the European title, and then it was just so yeah. And yeah, obviously there was a break in between those ones because you had to give a pinfall each, but yeah, I assumed they were going to do that rather than like two teams just climbing up at the same time and then just look at each other and grab each one. I thought they would go with a more staggered approach. I was surprised how quickly the first set of title belts came down. It didn't feel like it was in halfway through the match. It felt like it was about 5 minutes in when they came down, because maybe it was just my incorrect perspective of time. But it kind of felt like, for me, the match had barely even really gotten underway when the first title belts came down. And then the match kind of really started as soon as Grayson Waller went through that ladder bridge.
Yeah. I mean, the match itself is listed as being 17 and a half minutes long. I don't know exactly when the SmackDown belts were taken down. I don't know if anybody has that kind of like metric or something.
It felt super early, because even though I was like watching along and like seeing some, and as you said, there had been some cool spots that happened, it just didn't feel like there'd been enough that happened yet by the time that Waller and Fury climb up to get it. I mean, Waller was the only one that really climbed up and get it. Fury just stood on the bottom of the ladder. Yeah.
And then failed to get the Raw title, so it's kind of made him look pretty stupid.
But then from that point, there was a lot more like pretty cool action and pretty cool spots. Like the table started to come out. So they're slamming people through tables, like the Johnny Gargano like slingshot DDT for a table on the outside looked absolutely like devastating. That was like a really cool spot.
Tommaso Ciampa doing the white noise off the ladder to I think it was Bate. That's right, they both took out the two members of New Catch Republic, that's right, because Dunn was the one that got DDT'd.
And then you had
JD McDonagh came out. Was that before or after? That was after Kofi did the trust fall.
Yeah, that was a cool spot. And because he helped take care of like Woods and stuff afterwards.
Yeah, and McDonagh got the whole spot, which since we're a video, I can actually do this in some kind of way. I'll use my glasses. But they do the whole thing where, you know, somebody's on the ladder, somebody pushes them, and they just go over into the two tables, which he, you know, smacked into that, which was like, all right,
pretty cool, much missed the first table, but that's what you always do in those regards.
It's funny because they always put those two tables up to compensate for that, and then they always overcompensate or undercompensate, and it's like you've got a wide range you can land there, and they overshoot or they just come under every single time. But yeah, maybe set up three tables next time.
Yeah. It's like it's almost like it's a difficult thing to do.
I can't even get out of bed some mornings, so I certainly wouldn't be able to pull that shit off.
I think that overall most of the people in this match kind of delivered and did some cool stuff. I think, and I know I crap on the guy a lot, but I'm going to do it again, because like it's a thing. I thought The Miz did fucking nothing in this match.
I don't remember him doing anything, really.
The one thing he did was... it was also like in a way the scariest spot of the entire match was towards the end of it. You have Damian Priest going up the ladder, and I see Jessica Carr tap him on the legs as he's going up, because she's outside the ring like with obviously a bunch of referees, and she's like tapping him on the legs, and I'm wondering why she's tapping on the legs. Is she trying to give him a spot, trying to tell him something?
Tell somebody's coming or something, or
which sounds like you know, maybe you should do that a bit more subtly than just like literally she tapped him on the leg like three times. He had to turn around, look at her, and just like okay, and then carried on. But maybe the thing that she was trying to tell him is the fact that ladder was fucked.
Yeah,
like
it had to be that she was telling him that the ladder was broken,
and because one of the legs was not touching the ground, it was like it was standing up on three legs essentially, and the Miz is climbing up the other side of it. And so what they're planning on doing is the South of Heaven off the ladder to the Miz, the choke slam, but essentially the ladder's in such poor state shape that like Priest can only just kind of fall off, and the Miz can just kind of fall off in something resembling a choke slam position. And so Miz's one big spot in the entire match looked absolutely terrible, but in a way that wasn't entirely his fault.
Yeah, if they could have had the foresight or the, you know, sensibility of their surroundings to get another ladder, it probably would have been pulled off a lot better.
Well, yeah, Priest did get rid of that, and then he brought another ladder in, and then R-Truth got rid of him, and Awesome Truth won the title. So, as we anticipated, the titles went to the two teams we expected them to win.
Yeah, so, of course, like with anything else, we don't know how that's going to play into the future, if that's going to be like, okay, we got some cool stuff going forward with this new sets of tag teams, or if it's going to be within, you know, 2 weeks, we're like, maybe we could have just kept one set of belts, or... You know, and it's in the individual ones, like I would have been cool with almost anybody winning. If DIY would have won, I would have been like, cool, I like them. If New Day would have won, cool, I love the New Day. You know, Austin Truth, I don't think are really going to be holding these belts a super long time. They got their moment here. Now we need to set up the new champions. I'm assuming within 2 months, we're going to get new tag titles, new champions. I mean, I'm assuming, I hope this week we get new tag titles. So.
Oh, I think Awesome Truth are dropping the titles tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but they really could. On Monday, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening too. Especially if there's like a plan to do any kind of, you know, hey, this is the Raw after WrestleMania and we're going to have somebody call up to the main roster or something. then we could get something like that going on. Yeah. I know that Rob had put out a suggestion that he thinks that a different belt's changing hands on Monday night, which I don't necessarily think so.
But, I think he thinks that title changes hands. That title that you're talking about, that I believe you're talking about, I think he thinks it's changing hands tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow? Even not even on Monday?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, we'll talk about it a bit later on. Yeah. I assume we'll talk about the same title.
I think we are.
I just saw
the speed championship. No,
I just saw a question pop up on the feed. I just wanted to see because XOY asking about what I think about like Julia coming to NXT at her stand deliver. Essentially, she's now in NXT, so she's pretty much dead to me. That's not a case of like, oh, like I don't like her. It's just like I'm not gonna watch it. So.
You don't watch NXT,
so I'm pretty much not gonna watch her anymore. So
it's the same as being like, have you been checking out anything that Dolph Ziggler's done, Tony? You've been a fan of him, and it's like, well, I don't watch New Japan, so I only hear a little bit here and there, and I certainly don't watch TNA. So
I'll check it if someone says like, oh, it's an interesting match, I'll check out the stuff. But I'm quite interested to see. Kind of maybe see what her first match against some former volleyball player. Just see what she does to them. Like it might change their world completely.
I said in the Stand and Deliver post show, I could see her being the next champion after Roxanne. So I could see her also going up to the main roster pretty soon after being here. I think she might get a Dragon Lee type run where they technically put her through the NXT system and then hotshot her to the main roster. Like she could be on the main roster in 2024. I can see that happening, but yeah, we'll have to see, of course, when she starts, because if the whole plan is for her to continue to do stuff with the new promotion that Rossi Agawa was starting, she might just have been popping up here to be like, hey, stay tuned. I'm going to be here in a few months or something. Ladder was sketchy. Okay, just double checking about some of the stuff on the chat. How are Dunn and Bates still alive? I was surprised
they didn't get beaten up quite a bit. Yeah.
I was surprised that Tozawa was fine after the splash that he took on Friday. That was gnarly looking. For that matter, I was surprised about Billy Starks too. That thing. We'll talk about that some more in some kind of a wrap up. Hot tags next week or something like that when we're breaking down things.
You didn't feel that injury was real, right?
I totally did. Because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. Yeah. So I just see all like the commotion after the thing had happened. And I was like, oh shit, somebody must have gotten really injured and stuff. Like,
we won't go into great detail about it now, but I kind of knew pretty much immediately because you don't, if someone suffers a neck injury, you don't walk them out of the ring.
I was like, I had my three screens going and I was like, you know, busy doing some other stuff. And I was like, oh, they've got like, they're checking on her for her neck and all this. I'm like, damn, like Aminata seems really upset and all. Totally got me on that one. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is great. I already had that down. It's one of my favorite things for AEW/ROH for the year. They showed that Jordan Burroughs is in the crowd. I don't know who that is. I don't know any of these people that they put up to there tonight for the most part. They had a little Bray Wyatt tribute. That was nice. Then we had Andrade and Rey Mysterio against Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. Pretty much everybody decked out in some kind of ring gear, except for like Carlito just had a t-shirt on. The Joaquin Wilde and Chris El Toro just had like t-shirts on and whatever. So they didn't really care. But this was one of the first times throughout the night where I was like, oh, that's right. We're getting plastered with advertisements. And I don't even remember what they were advertising for this one. But it was just like, man, throughout the whole, like, it's popping up in the corner. It's popping up on the sides. It's on the ring post. We got the Prime logo in the center of the ring and the turnbuckles, too.
I saw someone highlight on Twitter. I can't remember what the thing was they were highlighting. But I'm pretty sure when someone mentioned it on Twitter, it basically said, oh, they're advertising something Hispanic-related in this match. In the same way. In the same way, in the women's six-woman tag, they decided that they'd okay. So this is the perfect match to advertise fried chicken.
Yep. And it's like the Jimmy and Jey Uso one. It gets the dude wipes one, and it's like, are you theming it? Like, you know, you might want to watch out to do that in the future because that
Some things, this might be a new era, but some things never change.
The Wingstop one stood out to me. This one didn't, because I guess I just wasn't paying attention enough to, I thought it might have been like a Prime thing or something at the time, but they had that plaster all over the place. I will say the Prime logo on the center of the ring was a lot better than the one that they had advertised beforehand. Like, it wasn't all the multicolored stuff. So that was, you know, more tolerable, even though I still would much rather it not be there at all. But some decent enough spots here. This was a, like, kind of a nothing match. I'm not really super, like, they did the slingshot thing with Joaquin Wild, but we've seen it before. So now it's just, it's not as cool to see it repeated three times.
It's one of those things that's like, and again, it happens in every single wrestling promotion. It's like once you've done something that people say is cool, then they just do it over and over and over again to less and less reaction each time. Like, you need to know when to save these things. But, you know, it's getting him some more exposure in TV, and he gets a moment. I wasn't so happy about the, I mean, the spot itself is cool enough and that's fine. I was more annoyed about the fact that, like, he just turns around and somebody says, hey, let's create a WrestleMania moment. It's like, fuck off. Just
slingshot me, do the thing we did.
Pretend that you're having an actual fight rather than you're just there doing high spots for jump. But yeah, this match was, this feels like a match that you probably just see on like an episode of Raw or SmackDown. There wasn't really much to it. You know, it was totally fine. It was just a very standard WWE Fair tag team match. Babyfaces get a bit of shine, heat on Rey Mysterio for a while, and Andrade gets the hot tag, do a bit of a mix up, and then some fucking football players just appeared.
Los Conquistadores pop up. I was so convinced at this point, like heading into the after Friday with the whole angle that, you know, it had Dragon Lee's attacked and you don't know who attacked him, and then Carlito pops up afterward and he's like, oh, did you see what happened with there? Oh, Andrade's picked instead. It was like, oh, they're gonna do the whole thing with Carlito being upset and then Carlito turns. Did not anticipate that Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson, again, I've heard the name Kelsey before, I don't know who Lane Johnson is. I'm assuming he's not in the Johnson family the way that pro wrestling has, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson and all.
So you've heard the name Kelsey, but this is not Kelsey that you think.
It's not Travis Kelsey. Yeah, it's his brother. So even then, like, all I really know, like, being fully transparent here, this is what I fully know about it. There are two brothers. At least one of them is a football player. I'm assuming both are.
They're both football players, yeah.
Because it's the one of them's for the Chiefs and the one of them's for the Eagles.
Yeah, one of them's dating Taylor Swift and one of them's
the Travis Swift. One's the one with the Chiefs. Then yeah, or the 49ers. Or that's how I know about this.
It is the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah.
Okay, so the Chiefs.
Like, these are both for the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe. So.
Yeah, like being, you know, a guy from the Philly area and stuff, you'd think I'd be tapped more into that, but I'm also just not a Travis Kelsey, Jason Kelsey, Taylor Swift, Eagles, football, et cetera, fan to begin with. So I was just like, at first I'm like, oh, who the hell are these two guys? And there was a split second where I was like trying to figure out, like, is this a team that I know? Like, is this going to be like, I don't know, like the Good Brothers? Or is this like, are there two like Hispanic tag team guys that are on the indies? Is this, and I'm like, well, it can't be like Santana and Ortiz. And it's not going to be, obviously, some, like, it wouldn't make any sense for this to be like the Dudley Boys or something. Of course, then I gotta look at them and it's like, clearly not the Dudley Boys because they're both white. But like, I was just like, I don't know who these people are, but it threw me off for the whole thing because I thought that Carlito was gonna turn, and instead they just help out and, you know, the baby faces win, which means that Dom is 0-2 against his dad at WrestleMania. And the whole, you know, celebrity shtick thing, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This is one that just doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, as I say, it was like, it was totally, you know, fine, but it wasn't anything that, I would say, like, with WrestleMania worthy, but it's just like, you know, it's just a standard tag team match.
Yeah. Filler, that became filler. I do think that there's a chance that maybe they do still tell the Carlito Turns story in some fashion, but I also thought it was kind of weird that Dragon Lee just wasn't out there. Like, they could have just had him out there with like a sling on or something. You just went from being in the match to, nope, you're not even out there to celebrate or anything. But, yeah, it's not the, you know, biggest, most important thing that happened on this this night. Jimmy and Jey Uso were next. Every 15 years we have a brother versus brother match? Is that what the statistic is? Yeah, WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 25, WrestleMania 40. I did think it was funny that they had to specify, they're like, for the third time at WrestleMania, true brothers are facing each other. And it's like, for the third time? Oh, right, because Undertaker and Kane.
Yeah.
It would have normally been the fifth time that brothers are against each other. Lil Wayne pops up and he's just like doing a couple ad libs and just, yeah, it's your time. It's you're all by yourself now, whatever.
Yeah, he sucks.
That sucks. But, yeah.
Is that how he actually just sings normally? It's like, cause in which case, like, he shouldn't be famous for doing that stuff.
There's a lot of people that shouldn't be famous for anything that they do. Yeah. But this was like blah. And, you know, the crowd was into like Jey's entrance and, you know, nothing at all special for Jimmy. I liked that they, instead of doing the boo, yay, they went yeet. I thought that was pretty fun. But I gotta be honest, this match didn't live anywhere close up to the hype that I thought it could. They didn't have great chemistry together, oddly enough.
Yeah, I thought this match blew. I thought it was... Yeah, I just think that they thought they could kind of ride off the... excite the crowd. I think the crowd were pretty dead for this entirely. I just don't think they... They got into... And again, it's the... I know this is like a trope thing that I tend to bring up, but WWE fans, a lot of WWE fans are just really interested in entrances and finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And...
kind of like the way that they used to be with the NWO stuff that we talked about before, where the NWO matches used to be like... wow, I can't wait to see this match because I'm interested in who's going to turn, exactly. or pop up and interfere and all.
Yeah. So I just don't think that, and they didn't really care about much that happened in between, but to be fair, they didn't really give them much to care about in between. I think they both worked pretty, I don't say lazily, but they didn't really bring anything much fire to the table. I'd say, I don't think they had good chemistry, which is surprising for a team that's like, that team together for, God, the best part of like 15 years.
And that have been, you know, having matches together, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In their living room and all.
Yeah, they were born pretty much at the same time. So they've been doing all this stuff that like been together for their entire lives pretty much. And yeah, they just couldn't work that together. I didn't like the super kick off where it was just like essentially just they switched from the forearm yeet thing to doing super kicks instead, which is like I know people always mock about the Bucks or other people like the super kick is so overused, but then you see it, it's like, yeah, it probably shouldn't be a back and forth spot, but then again I might see it in a Bucks match and think that it's fine. Maybe that might be just like some bias that's creeping in, but it may also just be for the fact that like I imagine the crowd would be more hot if it was happening in a Bucks match as opposed to this one where it's just like it was just happening and the crowd was saying like the yeet, no yeet, but they didn't feel like they were into it.
The AEW crowd would be more into it for sure, because that would be tailoring more to what their specific wants are, just the same as like, you know, you do the chopping thing that AEW does where it's like, I want you to chop me. I'll sit there and let you hit me. Like, you don't really do that in WWE type stuff, but the AEW side really likes it, so.
Yeah, but I think it's also a case of, like, because when they do it, the crowd usually, it's usually with the idea of kind of whipping the crowd up into a frenzy, whereas this one, they were kind of, like, focusing on the yeet, no yeet thing, but they weren't getting more into it if every hit was going, and they were, like, they were getting harder with every hit, or they were getting more fiery with every hit. It was just them doing it for the sake of doing it, to get that reaction, which they did, for instance, but I think it's just because people like to say yeet, no yeet, rather than they were actually into what was going on in front of them. So yeah, I think, you know, the right person won. I think Jay's the right person to go over, because even though, well, fundamentally, it's the right person to go over because I don't want to see them have this match again. Because it's.
I mean, after watching this one, I'm like, I'm good with. Like, I don't know if they really would have some trilogy of matches where the second one would be better than the third one would like be all worth it to wrap it around. I think that they probably did what they would do, and I'm fine not seeing another one.
Yeah, the only thing that would change up is that if they were to do rematches, they would probably be gimmick matches. I'm surprised there was like no involvement from Solo.
Yeah, I really thought that Solo would be between that match and the main event and this. We didn't see Solo at all this night, so that's got me a little bit like
just saving him for tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know someone who really benefited from beating John Cena is Solo Sikoa.
Oh, I mean that completely changed his career around, right?
Yeah. You know he's not won a match since he beat John Cena.
Not a single one.
No.
Not even
on like, on house shows as well. He's not won a single match.
Wow, not even on house shows. God damn, man.
I think he's on a I think I saw someone look it up on like cage match and stuff. I think he's on an 18 match losing streak now.
So now that's setting a like precedent. If you fight John Cena and you beat him, you get cursed, because it happened to Austin Theory too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, essentially it's a case of it's always the thing with like people always talk about like Jericho never puts people over, even though he puts loads of people over. It's more of a case of but then you have to book them properly afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like
one
it's
win like, doesn't make their whole career. You got to continue it afterward.
And the worst thing about it is that now that that's happened to both Austin Fury and Silas Kerr, and both of them haven't benefited from it, it just basically means that beating John Cena doesn't mean anything anymore.
It means a lot to AJ Styles though. Beat John Cena.
Well, yeah, it meant a lot for him. Well, at that point, it did mean a lot to beat John Cena. But also, John Cena's story is the fact that he can't win a match anymore. So basically, can anyone win matches here in this company?
So, I mean, the Jimmy and Jay thing, I still am not sure if I agree with Jay winning. I think it's going to depend on what happens tomorrow and the overall, like, where the bloodline is and all, because if it ends up being that this is the equivalent of the tag title situation from last year, and it's like, well, we gave you the supplemental win, but then, you know, the Cody win not doesn't happen or something, then I'm going to be like, you should have just done bloodline, just rules everything. But, Jay kind of underwhelmed. It was fine in some spots. It was sluggish in other spots. It didn't really reach anywhere close to the momentum that I thought it could have. And, then they followed that up with a match that was, again, kind of filler. It was the six-woman tag. The Damage Control came out with some geishas that are, like, throwing the flowers for them in the entrance and all. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi come out with, like, a pedestal that's lowering them down and kind of a quick mashup of their themes, which didn't quite seem to get that down 100%. A lot of people are probably going to talk about that being fantastic. I wrote down on the thing, not an all-timer entrance, but still special. So I appreciate any kind of time that they do something special. But I got like nothing to talk about for this match. It was essentially a series of a few moves rather quickly. It's ended up being, I think, the quickest match of the night. Let me double check. Yeah, 8 minutes compared to 11 minutes for the prior one, the Jimmy and Jay one. And, by the time we got Jade in the ring, she hits a few moves, she scores the pin, and that's it.
Yeah, then that's pretty much the structure that I assume the match would go. Which is, Naomi starts the match, gets the heat on her for the most part, then Bianca does most of the bulk of the actual work, gets Jade Cargill in, she just hits a few moves, and wins. So, yeah, it's pretty much had the structure that I expected it to do. It wasn't particularly great. I think, Rob would probably disagree with me on this one, but Naomi is washed with a capital W. She hasn't got the athleticism or speed anymore to carry off a lot of her offense that she used to do. I think she needs to change her style.
I think too. She looks like a veteran that like she's playing the hits, but you know, it's not quite the same.
Yeah. Jay Cargill hit like four moves and she managed to botch like two of them. There was one spot where she I don't know whether she was at fault for this one actually, so maybe that's a bit wrong to say, but she went with like a backbreaker thing on Kairi, but then I heard her audibly say to Kairi, "You're supposed to go the other way" to her, so I don't know if it's a case of like she didn't know what way to go, or Kairi got mixed up about what move was being hit, so she just did something on the fly instead. And then the backdrop she gave to Kai looked like bad. Like Dakota got no elevation off the top of it. But again, that could be Dakota's fault for not getting enough height on it, because she hasn't wrestled in a while either, so she's probably still getting some rust off. Yeah. But yeah, then they just hit their finishers. They had like the Asuka hit the mist in Kairi's face, Then they just got hit with all their finishers, and Jade took out Dakota with the Jaded, got the pin. You know, that's what it needed to be, but it doesn't. I guess put it this way, and again, I know we haven't seen a lot of her yet, but that's kind of also the point, really, is the fact that Jade looks no better than she did when she left AEW. So all that training in the Performance Center doesn't seem to have done anything, or at least I don't trust her to do any more than
she only did a few moves.
Than the minute or two that she was in the ring for. So are they really making any sort of real improvement with her, or is it now just the point of like, well, we can't wait any more for, if she's going to keep developing, she has to do it on TV, because we can't just have her sitting around doing nothing for another few months.
It'd be interesting to see when they start putting her into house show loops.
Yeah, or actually just like having like straight up singles matches with somebody.
Yeah,
I have the sneaking suspicion that it's going to go her run in WWE. I'm not saying this in like a negative thing, but I think it's going to go pretty much identically to what happened in AEW with her.
Like just dominating quick matches and then like flash in a pan, she's out of the company pretty soon.
I would not say flash in the pan. I'm not saying like out of the company pretty soon. I don't mean like her entire run, but I think basically the structure of her matches is going to be the same as it was in AEW, which is mostly like 3 to 5 minute squashes. The one thing that will change is that at one point WWE is going to make her have longer matches with the likes of like Bianca and Becky or someone like that. She's going to have to go like, and she did have some, yeah, and she did have some like 10 plus minute matches in AEW. I'm not saying that she didn't, but that'll be the one where it's kind of like sink or swim, and that will be the ones that either expose her or show that she can hang it with the top stars in the company.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. They did what they wanted to do here, though. Bianca got another win. Naomi got a little bit of a spotlight after returning to the company, and Jade got a spotlight. So that's all they cared about. They did it.
Yeah.
People are going to be, you know, raving about their outfits and, you know, that kind of thing. Exactly, so, yeah, you can't really fault them too much and just being like, we're going to make this filler match quick and simple and kind of then move on after that. Brandon saying in the chat, I hate how weak they made Damage Control look here. Damage Control is just like done at this point.
That's basically what they've done for the last 2 years, is make Damage Control look weak. they started off weak and then they built up from, and then they just went down from there.
It's not like EO was like defending the belt every week and, you know, beating people clean and all either.
I mean, even Bayley didn't even win the title from Bianca in the first place anyway. So it's like they didn't do anything. And they held the tag titles for a while, but that was at the point, and you could argue that it's still the point, that the tag titles don't mean jack shit. So
yeah, and they still are the tag champs. I mean, this wasn't for those belts, so how they piggyback off of this and where they go next with that could be kind of interesting. Maybe they end up doing something where they keep those belts for a while, or maybe they just lose them on Monday. You know, I mean, that could very easily happen too. I could see Bianca and Naomi winning those belts pretty soon. Then they have this backstage thing, Sami Zayn talking to his wife and his son, he getting a little bit of a, you know, pep talk. Chad Gable was there too. He said, you got to go there and do that by yourself. Kevin Owens was also there. That was a nice little touch just to have him be like, yeah, of course he would be supporting his friend. Oh my God, logic in WWE. It takes 2 seconds to do something that means something and talks about what happened at WrestleMania last year. Oh, look at that. It's like what you would do if you would have hired me for the script supervisor job that you then said no longer exists.
is it silly to say that this was my favorite entrance of the entire show?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I felt with it was like, it was one of the most understated ones, but it was just a case of like just following Zane. It made me like, this entrance, this build up to this match, and then the way the match went, made me equally like, obviously happy. I mean, I'll spoil it now. This was my match of the night. I thought this was the best match on the show. But it made me in a way really annoyed, because you did such a shitty job building this that like, I'm so like, cause if you had this end segment, if this had been at the end of like even like a month long, maybe like a month, 2 month long build. Let's say Gunther eliminated Sami Zayn from the Royal Rumble, and then Sami's like a little bit like focused on him. Like, he still wants to obviously potentially win the world title, but the whole, let's say we don't need to tread over old ground, but I said ad nauseum that the real story going into this was that Sami Zayn should have been going after a world championship.
Right, and then he flat out says, like, well, I'm not going to be doing that. I guess I'll figure something else to do.
Yeah, which is not the build that you should be using to end the longest reign of the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. But then you see the segments that they had leading up to it. If you'd done more about the training with Gable and spent a few more weeks building that up, when you tell the story early in that run about him losing to Bronson Reed, but then him getting the win back against Bronson Reed rather than doing the stupid thing they did where having him lose to Bronson Reed 1 week and then the go-home show, he's facing Bronson Reed again and it still can't beat him because he gets distracted by Gunther. It's like, okay, like, they should have done a much, much better job with the build because the way they handled in a vacuum on this night was absolutely perfect, I think.
Now, I said going into this, I didn't want Gunther to lose, and I'm disappointed that he lost. I don't think that this is going to be a great thing for Sami Zayn in the long run. I think that Gunther should have lost the belt to somebody else that could have benefited more because, you know, repeating what I said before, I don't want to, repeat it too much, but Sami Zayn's been the Intercontinental Champion. He's been the United States Champion. He is...
He's never been United States Champion.
He never won that? I thought he did.
No. Nope.
Even still, even if he won that, it would be like, all right, they're the equivalent belts. Really, yeah, doesn't matter all that much. But like, he's won this now three times or so, and
fourth now.
He has reached a point a while ago where, yeah, he could win that mid-card title at any point, and it makes perfect sense. Same as how at any moment, if you gave somebody like Shinsuke Nakamura one of those belts, it'd be like, all right, well, I mean, I kind of see it, but that doesn't mean anything. And for Sammy to be in a position now where it's like, oh, I can't believe I actually did the underdog thing and won. You main evented last year's WrestleMania and won the tag titles. And very quickly after that, that didn't mean anything. And now you didn't main event, but you beat Gunther. It's a big deal that you beat Gunther because of Gunther's reign. But I got a feeling it's not going to matter. And within like a month, maybe, Sami Zayn's going to have matches for the mid-card spot, and it's just going to be a thing. The same way as if, like, Gunther had not had this whole title reign, and it was just, like, Ricochet versus Bronson Reed or something. Which, by the way, I do think, like, there's a chance that they might, in their minds, think that this is building up something good, where Bronson Reed beats him twice, Bronson Reed wins the Andre, and then it'll be like, oh, he's the next number one contender. He's got his number, and then he just beats Bronson, and it's like, that goes the whole Andre thing immediately, because that happens every year. But, like, I don't think within 2 months people are going, Sami Zayn's in a much better position of his career. I think everybody's just going, who's the Intercontinental Champion?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, as I say, we'll see what the long-term vision for this is. So we can't really judge that one way or the other until it happens. And as I say, there's definitely a reality in what you're saying about where that could definitely go. And maybe this was the wrong decision or the wrong time to make that change. It certainly was the wrong build to make this change. But I thought the match was excellent. The whole story of like Gunther just like dominating him for the vast majority of it was the way that it should have gone, and then Sami like firing up, making a few comebacks here and there, but mostly just being stomped out by Gunther, and then eventually being able to just go after him, get those haluva kicks landed, doing the top right brainbuster. That was cool, a cool spot to just bring back, because he rarely does that, and the fact that he could hit that on Gunther as well,
yeah, somebody that big.
Yeah, testament to how lean Gunther has become in the last, like...
Massively different, if you see the pictures before and after, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, and then just finishing him off. Like, I'd say, I thought that the match, if you just took in a vacuum or you tried to convince yourself that there'd been a great build up to this and there'd been, like, a month in the making or month, 2 months in the making of Sami Zayn constantly chasing Gunther and saying that he's going to be the guy that wins the title from him, then it would be just, like, a fantastic story. But, unfortunately, they didn't build it up properly. And as I say, it might be a case that him holding a crown title is a detriment to the belt. Obviously, I think that pretty much whoever was going to beat Gunther was realistically the next title reign was going to be a struggle to try and recapture that magic anyway. I think that it could be good for Gunther. I think it's more interesting for the fact that, like, where does Gunther go from this? What does he go after next? Assumingly, he'll set his sights on the world championship at some point, but if and when he'll win it is, we'll have to wait and see.
Because, yeah, we have to see who even are holding those belts.
Yeah, exactly.
By tomorrow night.
But yeah, I thought that just taking the match in a vacuum, I thought it was the best match on the show. And, you know, it was a cool moment seeing Sammy getting, like celebrating with his wife and having his kid on the screen. Kid can't follow direction, but he's just a kid, so.
Would this be the annual negative kid award that happened for a long time with Swarko?
I got it quite funny as well, because Michael Cole in commentary again was saying, like, he took out, like, the wife's name, and then he says, oh, and I think his name is Remy Jr. Yeah. It's like, oh, where does the Jr. come from then? Because this guy's name's Sammy. Is his dad someone else instead?
Yeah, it's always strange when they say things like, they're really like, oh, like Bron Breakker, the, you know, son of Rick Steiner, and you're like, but Breakker? And, like, you know,
yeah.
It just doesn't, you know, compute in the same way. You know, pro wrestling's a fucking weird entertainment thing. They said a bunch of people were in the crowd. I know Vanessa Hudgens. I don't know. I've heard the name George Kettle before. I don't know who he is. I've never heard of Drewski before. No. And, you know, I've heard about Wally, of course. But
I saw people putting out on X that we need to be set in motion. That's next year's mixed tag match between Cody Rhodes and Bradley Rhodes against Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens.
There was an announcement from Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce. 72,543 in attendance, which of course we know isn't the real number because it never is. But
I think there's a chance that's the real number.
Yeah? You think maybe that's a big change with this new era, so they're not going to fudge the numbers?
I think it's more of a case that I don't think at this current period of WWE's like overness to the audience, I don't think they need to fake the number. I think as soon as that cools off, then they'll start faking the numbers again. I think that there's a chance that it's embellished, but I don't think it's anywhere near as embellished as it would have done in previous years.
I always thought it was funny that, like, when they did embellish it in, you know, all these years and stuff, that they wouldn't just tack on a few thousand, that they would do like 1,127 or something, and you're like, wow, why did you pick this random ass number? Like,
it's because they don't technically like just make it up. They go with something on the lines of, oh, there was X number of staff that were working the event as well, and stewards and stuff like that, and they just class those as people that were in attendance.
They add like you say you had like
a, like people that work in the concession stands,
production and people, like and all be like, well, we've got like 300 workers, but it's actually 325, so we're gonna add 325 to that or something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So they can find a way to justify it, even though it's I mean, there's certain things like you know, the famous one of the like the 100 and something thousand people for WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it was actually probably closer to like
86 or something.
Yeah, 80,000, yeah. 80-something thousand, yeah. So
they're like, no, a lot of people in the front row have split personalities.
Yeah. So as I say, I'm not saying that it's not an embellished number, but I think that if I was a betting man, I'd say that it's a lot closer to the actual number than it would have been in previous years.
Hopefully so, because that's a good number. I hope that they have, like, it's still baffling to me, though, when you say, like, 72,000 people are there, and it's like, just wow, you know. That led into the main event of the night, of course, tag team match, setting up stuff for night two. Roman Reigns and The Rock, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I don't know how long the entrances took, but
16 minutes combined.
Yeah. I was gonna say it was probably about 15-20 minutes. That was a long set of entrances,
yeah,
and a long stare down at the beginning of this. And the whole match, I think bell to bell is like 45 minutes or so, and it's basically an hour something for, you know.
This was, to me, and I know, as I say, other people's mileage may vary on this, and I'm not going to try and like bury the entire part of it, but it's more of a case of this was a weird amalgamation of the kind of walk and brawl match that you'd always get in the Attitude Era main events. combined with Roman Reigns' overindulgence at main events for the Bloodline thing to do these kind of like community theater stuff. And it's just like, it was a blend of the two of them, which I don't think worked very well. So I think other people probably really enjoyed this. And The Rock looked, put it this way, The Rock looked much better in this than he did in either of the Cena matches.
Yeah, he looked better overall at the end of this than he has since, I guess, probably that tag match with the whole Evolution thing. Which mania was that?
Oh, that was WrestleMania 20.
There's 20, yeah.
Yes, so that's 2004. Yeah, so that's...
So it's like 20 years ago. He looked about as good as he looked back then, you know?
Yeah. But I think that... arguably, like, the issue I don't have about that is, and I know I said that I don't want to make a load of AEW comparisons, but I want to make one comparison to involve this match because I feel like it is slightly pertinent.
Sting?
Yeah, the Sting Young Bucks and Darby Allin match from Revolution. It's like, and again, this isn't The Rock's retirement match, far from it. He's going to have a big match with Cody and he's going to have a big match with Roman Reigns, at least between now and whenever they have that final match with Roman Reigns. But like, you have The Rock there, and The Rock does a pretty decent job. But then you have arguably your three biggest guys in the company, like your three other top guys in the company in this match. And surely it should be like great. I don't think people should be walking out of this, or at least I shouldn't be walking out thinking, oh, that was fine. That's an okay main event. Rather than be thinking like, oh my god, that's like one of the best
matches in media history. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying the Sting match with Darby Allin, Young Bucks isn't the greatest match in history, but I mean, you've said that like, it's a high contender for like match of the year for AEW for this year already. Mm. I know we're early in it, but like, I would say that's a very good chance that I'd make that my match of the year for AEW as well. So it's kind of like, And yeah, I know they used different embellishments, but they also did a lot of like smoke and mirrors that they had in this match. The only difference being that obviously they're not going to use like glass and like thumbtacks and all that other stuff. But, you know, I feel like they could have done a few more interesting things. I mean, they've already shown that they'd had Cody bleed on TV.
Yeah.
They should have had blood in this match.
I would think that would have helped it. Yeah. Because they had enough brawling that they could have like... For anybody who didn't see the match, I don't know why you'd be listening though. So if you didn't see it, sure. But you had like a standard sort of back and forth throughout a whole bunch, and then they just start brawling into the crowd. And The Rock says, and I appreciated this little moment of The Rock saying to Chad Patton, he's like, "If you count, you're fucking fired."
Yeah,
and it's like, good, okay. The Rock is abusing his authority. That's what you want to see heading into this stuff. And they had, you know, Rock and Roman separated. Where Roman is with Cody, makes perfect sense. They're having the match tomorrow, and they're up on the stage. They barely showed them. I thought that was kind of interesting. They focused fully on The Rock and Roman.
Because The Rock was...
Because it's Rock.
Rock and Seth, yeah. So, because The Rock was there, so they were going to showcase that.
But yeah, I'm curious, what Roman and Cody did, because it made it seem like they must not be doing almost anything, you know?
I mean, that was the feeling that I was getting for most of the match, if I'm honest, because it was a case of, yeah, they did some stuff in between, but for the most part, they were just a load of, like, standing and talking. But that's, like, a Roman match. That's what Roman does these days. And, yeah, it got more animated towards the end, like, where they started hitting some of their big moves and finishes and other stuff going on. But it was just, like, it felt like it was taking ages. Like, The Rock setting up for the first people's elbow attempt. Like, he was standing there for a good, like, 2 minutes just soaking in the crowd, it feels like. And then he goes for the people's elbow. And then one of the better spots of the match, which Cody hitting the Cody Cutter off of the Rock by bouncing off the ropes from the people's elbow. That was cool. And, yeah, as I said earlier on, the most notable things was Cody hitting a rock bottom to The Rock through a table and then Roman spearing Seth through a barricade. They worked over Seth's leg a lot in this match.
Yeah, and he was clutching it about like the 3/4 mark or so.
Yeah, which I assume will play into the match that he has with Drew tomorrow.
It should, at the very least. Like, they shouldn't just act like he's perfectly fine tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine they'll have that through line going on. But But yeah, I think that, and then they pretty much ended it in the way that's similarly to what, how they ended last year's WrestleMania, which was like Cody's left on his own. He feels like he's got the better of Roman. He's going for that. I do like the fact they tease the idea of him going for the third crossroads again, because I'm almost certain that's how the match is ending tomorrow. He's going to finally hit that third crossroads in a row on Roman. It'd be so funny if he does that and then Roman kicks out. But
I mean, I wouldn't even be opposed to that if he then gets a fourth and gets it, like, because that would be a good moment of like, you get the like, oh, he finally hit the third one. One, two, no. Everybody will be like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, but they are setting that up, and I'm still like, there's that part of me that's just like, they're going to just not do it. Like, you know, it's, but the fact that they had Rock and Roman win here tonight, and it's Bloodline rules tomorrow, and they abused that, even though it wasn't Bloodline rules for this, they fully abused it here too. Tomorrow, the difference being, you're going to be able to brawl outside, and you're going to see Solo, you're going to see Jimmy, you're going to see, you know, interference directly in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's other bits and pieces. I mean, at one point, Roman speared The Rock. So, again, just throwing that little bit of immediate tension in there, but they got back on the same page. And I think it's interesting that The Rock pinned Cody. I think it's also doubly interesting that he pinned him off the People's Elbow, because that is just, nah, you shouldn't be pinning people off the People's Elbow. Just hit the rock bottom and pin him. But I think it pretty much sets everything up as you expected to. I expected Bloodline to win. We're going to have Bloodline Rules match. This is going to be the big, like, Avengers Assemble endgame in the main event. I think that there's a good chance, and part of me wants to see this, that I think the main event of Night 2 of WrestleMania is going to be the most overbooked match of all time.
Yeah, we have a group chat with Payton and Wago and them, and I forget who, somebody said, I think it might have been Payton, was like, get ready for the most overbooked match in history, because the way that this went down, the way that people are expecting, like, Stone Cold and John Cena, and, you know, the, like, the ghost of wrestling history's past to pop up.
Because I genuinely think that it wouldn't surprise me that if 20 or more people get involved in this match outside the two people that are supposed to be in this match. So
I want it. Like, give me full Avengers Endgame. Like, well, I'm watching that in movie theaters, and I'm like, okay, there's Black Panther and Okoye, and there's Doctor Strange, and they have to give me more of the, you know, here's the full lineup of people from Kamar-Taj, and I want, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Jimmy and Jay and Solo and Cena, and I want Dustin Rhodes there. I want Remy Jr. can come back.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, what Brandy out there, Pharaoh out there doing stuff, and like, I want other members of the Samoan family coming out to do things. I want
the actual family tree itself.
Yeah. Like, the family tree just comes to life.
Yeah, Cody, just like Yggdrasil or something. Yeah. Have the people that played the characters in Young Rock come out. like they had the woman that played Leah doing the thing for the Hall of Fame, and
have someone have, like, fake Maui come out and, like,
GI battle. It's, you know, those holograms that they did with Bray Wyatt, have CGI hologram things and stuff. But have Becky's book fly in there.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll see how that one goes. I think it's like the result of this one and the manner in which they pin Cody means that it's like, it's a foregone conclusion that Cody's gonna win the title. Like, fundamentally, I mean, as I say, there's always the slight chance in there, but fundamentally, you can't have the ending to this match be like that and have Cody lose and expect people to care about Cody doing anything moving forward. So yeah, he's almost certainly going to win the title tomorrow. But yeah, this is the right setup for it. As I say, I just don't think the match did anything for me, because they're just, for a 45-minute match, there wasn't really anything that happened that I think was particularly interesting or captivating or different. So it was good for what potentially could have been, especially with The Rock's involvement. I think The Rock held up his end of the bargain. I think just the other ones, it felt like house show time almost. except the fact that they're working 45 minutes, whereas a house show, they probably would try to wrap it up in 10 if they could.
The whole thing itself went a lot longer than I thought it would. Like, I was thinking this would be about a half hour. And in some ways, they did more than I expected. In some ways, they kind of just did the thing. And I'm overall happy with it. But again, like, I'm not putting it down my match of the year. You know, it's not reaching that level. It's just, I think that they did a good job for what they were trying to do. Maybe just tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, it was already going long, like
the 15 something minute entrances, and then you have like 45 minute match, and
are you Roman's just been passed on the Triple H gene of like, if you're main event in the show, you gotta go like
stretch it out
much. You gotta go much longer than you really should be going.
Yeah.
But you know, as I say, I'm sure a lot of people do. I mean, Rob said that it was like he had a really fun time watching it. I think he's a bit crazy about that, but you know, that's the, but it was also the fact that like, maybe I would have a different opinion about it if I hadn't been like sitting around for like 3.5-4 hours beforehand, like just trying to get on with it. It's like, cause the Sami Zayn match, I think, ended around about the, I don't know what time it would be over in your side of things, but it was 2:45 here. And then this match didn't start till 2:30. It was like, oh, come on, that's 45 minutes in between these two, between the semi-main and then the main event. It's like, I had no problem with the entrances being like a bit more long and overindulgent for this one, but then if you're going to do that, then just have that happen, do a video package and then have that happen, just get it done in like 20 minutes. Why do you need every single thing else that happens in between all of that stuff?
And you know, we're going to get a lot more of that tomorrow. So,
well, yeah, well, that's why I'm just trying to brace for it. At least there's like less matches, so hopefully it'll be shorter. But then again, the main event is probably gonna go an hour, I imagine.
Based off of this, yeah. There are less matches. There's one less match for there, so maybe each one is going to be giving more time, or maybe that just means that they are going to have more filler type content. And you know, we're not going to know until tomorrow, but of course, as always, everybody, we're going to be doing our live coverage here on SmartGunMama.com. I'll have my wrestling news post up. We'll be live for the post show immediately following that. I don't know what's happened during this press conference. I've been trying to pay attention to like Twitter and stuff. Somebody in the chat, I forget who, I'm sorry that I don't remember who, but somebody mentioned like Roman's not answering questions unless they acknowledge him. So that's like pretty funny. I see Frankie putting in here, Roman looked ripped tonight. This was probably the best that Roman looked. Yeah, agree about that. And yeah, I'm going to be trying to check out the press conference stuff after this while I'm doing like my editing and all. But anything that happens there, we'll factor that into talking about it tomorrow night. And, you know, Slammy Awards are happening tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning. I think it might be like 10:30 actually in the morning. I'll have something up on that on Spark at moment. I'm not planning on doing anything for that, like no post show for the Slammies or something. I don't think we need to do that. But in the meantime, you know, you guys check out the Discord, you guys check out facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs for any kind of chatting over on that side of it, if you're on Facebook more than Discord, and go to the page on smartcatmama.com, tweet things at both of us. You see at Tony Mango, at Wigmeister14, at SmartCatMoment, you know, naturally, that's that thing. If you tweet at a mango tree, I barely pay attention to that, so don't waste your time on that one. But, you know, keep the discussion going, because tomorrow we do have the potentially more effective night where, you know, we might see more titles change hands and stuff. Even though we did see technically three titles change hands tonight, but maybe we'll see more tomorrow. New World Heavyweight Champion, maybe a new WWE Champion, Bayley. We could see something with the United States title too. Who knows? I think that tomorrow is probably going to be a better show, to be honest, than this one. But maybe it'll be about the same. Maybe it'll be worse. I don't know. We'll see. Any other thoughts you have? Wrap it up, night one.
No, that's I think that when I was saying earlier about like, the whole experience, like I think like talking about it made me realize the show was like for the most part like better than I might have.
I might just slogging it through,
but just like it's just the experience just makes watching WWE shows so difficult these days. So I just don't think I can really get on board watching these live anymore. It just makes things a lot harder, but I'll probably still go back and then maybe watch some of these shows after the fact. So the overall answer would be don't expect me to be on many WWE post shows moving forward. It just needs to be that way going forward for my own personal like enjoyment and sanity. So
I mean, I like watching most of wrestling these days by recording everything and then starting it later on and catching up and skipping through a lot of it. Like every episode of Raw these days, every SmackDown, every Dynamite, I'm like, if I'm not watching it live to do like the live coverage of like NXT or the pay-per-views, there's a lot you can skip through. And you know, I can skip through an episode of the 2 hours of SmackDown or 2 hours of Dynamite within like 45 minutes and I'm done most of that. So,
hopefully Night 2 is a bit of a step up from it. I think that even if this was like in many ways, like better than the overall experience made it for me, I think that it was still, you know, a pretty like 6 out of 10 show overall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about 6 out of 10, yeah. There are some stuff that are going to be looked back positively, negatively, depending on how tomorrow goes, how Monday goes, how the next few months go. You know, you look back on WrestleManias in the past and you could see that some of them are like, the show itself, great. Everything that followed sucked. Show itself sucked. Everything that followed, great. Mixed match, whatever it might be. So we'll be rounding everything out tomorrow when it happens. We'll have everything up on the website. We'll have, you know, any other things that might happen in the meantime. Stay tuned and you can be finding out some more information along the way here. We, of course, are still having all the stuff I mentioned before going on right now. You joined the Discord in the meantime. You got the Spark Madness tournament. You could still be voting on. You got the Road to WrestleMania contest for the Funko Pop. You still got going on there, but in the meantime, of course, just check out the link tree, amangotree.com. You'll find all the links to Fanboys Anonymous stuff, Spark and Moment stuff, and anything else. And make sure that you are following not just me at Tony Mango, but that you're also following Callum.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at WigMeister14. You can check out the Power Rankings. The most recent edition went out. It's the end of the 2023-2024 season, so you can see who are the final people to make the Power Rankings for. Pre-WrestleMania XL, and then next week's one will be the first post-WrestleMania XL, where it all kind of resets and the league table all sets up again. And then you also find the Fantasy League, which is, again, ending tomorrow. That'll be the end of our season, and then the next one will start up in the build-up towards Ashing Backlash is the next show.
Is it
the Saudi Arabia thing now instead?
I don't think that they've announced anything about Saudi. Where, like,
then they do something about, I saw an announcement on the show about they're going back to Riyadh soon.
Oh, did they put that? I actually didn't notice that tonight. If WWE Saudi Arabia, see if there's anything on there. I thought that maybe there might have been something about that, but then I don't remember if they said anything like specific. Maybe it was just like, let's check PW Insider says here. No, that's a PW Elite thing.
It might have been like a different thing about the maybe that WWE Experience thing.
Oh yeah, it might have been that thing.
WWE's next event in Saudi Arabia will be. It has to be subscriber locked.
Yeah, that's the same one that I just clicked on. Yeah. It might be the WWE Experience thing. That's all I'm seeing on here.
Okay. That's what that potentially could be.
Just an advertisement, maybe, to just be like, hey guys, remember, this is the thing that's happening if you're in Saudi and you're watching this. Ashton says, I'm copying you, Callum, for the Fantasy League scoring for my league. Oh, you're doing one of them too? Are you doing WWE based or some other? You're doing like WWE and AEW or something?
You want an update on that because it is quite interesting.
Yeah, you got. I didn't know if you had crunched any of those numbers.
I've crunched the numbers through night one WrestleMania and obviously Stand and Deliver that happened earlier as well. We are exactly tied.
Wow. That's like, you can't book these things. This is what, the third year in a row that it comes down to WrestleMania night two?
Yeah, we're both exactly on 1,533 points each.
Wow.
It's all going to come down to a couple of the final matches. because I've got Cody and Roman both in my team. So that obviously benefits me.
You got a huge boost when it comes to that. There's no way you don't get points there unless Damian Priest somehow cashes in, and then it's like, whoa, what the hell?
But that's kind of really, in a long term, it's kind of it really in terms of point Gareth, because I've got Io Sky, but she's not going to beat Bayley, almost certainly. And then the only other one that I've got that can score points, well, only two people that I can get other people that can score points or prominent points tomorrow are AJ Styles and Randy Orton. That's possible, but it's not 100% certain. Whereas you tomorrow have Kevin Owens and Logan Paul both in your team. So you've got a 2 out of 3 chance of winning that
one.
For
the US title thing, yeah.
You've got LA Knight. So basically one of us is going to get the points for that one, depending on who gets the result on that thing. That's kind of it in terms of the main people appearing for you. So basically a lot of it's going to come down to who wins the United States title and who wins LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Because if you get both those right, then my Cody thing probably will be irrelevant, or it won't be enough to
get. It might be like, we might end up with a tie.
Yeah.
Wait, do you have anything in mind if we end up with a tie, like, out of the whole season? Or is it just like, well, the astronomical chances of that becomes, hey, it happened.
Yeah, it'll just be a tie. I mean, the only way we could kind of tie break it is that we go based on the fact that you've won more predictions contests over the course of the year. So essentially, if it's a tie, we can say that you kind of like somewhat won.
That would be the Brett versus the Luger in the 94 World Rumble tie.
But I kind of prefer the alternative, which is that realistically, if we were both to tie, then really the answer is Rob is the loser of the season.
I mean, isn't that already established?
Well, Rob hasn't even made it to 4 figures yet in his total.
Then we Rochambeau, and he just, you know, scissors.
It's quite funny that I'm just looking at Rob's team now, and I think about at least a half dozen people that are on his team haven't even made an appearance this week so far. So this week entirely? Tiffany Stratton hasn't appeared at all this week.
That's right, yeah.
Charlotte Flair hasn't appeared at all this week. Bobby Lashley will appear, but he hasn't appeared yet this week. No Alba Fire, no Isla Dawn, no Montez Ford yet. No Chelsea Green at all. His team's not going too well. He's only had one person that's won at WrestleMania weekend so far as well, which is Baron Corbin.
Oh, Baron Corbin's the one. I was like, I don't remember who he had, but yeah, Baron Corbin.
Yeah. But
that was the linchpin pick for him.
Yeah. But see, I mean, you caught up tremendously because basically you had all four people that won the tag title matches.
Oh, nice. That's right.
You have Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, The Miz, and R-Truth. So yeah, you got the maximum points you could get out of that match for all of them. So that caught you up a lot. So yeah, it will come down to tomorrow and who wins the majority of the points for those matches. So yeah, we'll have to just wait and see.
That's if you're not already invested enough in night 2 of WrestleMania, now you've got fantasy leagues of stuff to go into, everybody. Thank you again for another super chat from Ashton. Love fantasy football /hockey, so trying wrestling. Definitely try it out, man. Like, this has been fun to do the fantasy league stuff. Like, Callum obviously is spearheading 99.9% of it, so I can easily say it's been fun without having to do the spreadsheets and stuff. But like,
we're going to be doing a new iteration of it next year as well. I mean, let you spoil a little bit because we're talking about it now anyway. Next year, we're going to go with an approach of what we've been doing this year is like we started with a small number of people and then have exponentially kind of grown our teams with every passing month. Our plan for next season's iteration is we're going to start with a bigger pool of people and then we're going to whittle it down as the months go on. Which is useful for me because it makes it like more fun to follow along with, or it makes it more easier to follow along with as the months go on when you're actually like in a bit of a slog and you just want to do it rather than you're making much harder for yourself as the weeks and months go progress.
It's it's kind of the same as like when we add new things on Smart Combo, where I'll be like, oh, you know, it'd be a lot better if we do like the mock draft or something, and then I'm like, wait, I gotta make the graphic for that. Oh wait, no, I gotta make graphic for the video thing. Oh wait, we should probably have this, and then it's like sometimes doing superstar scores ends up being like, wow, this turned into 10 categories and 20 categories, and you know. But Survivor round of Fantasy League next time around. Which is funny because I've been watching a lot of Survivor seasons recently.
But we'll be back tomorrow to round off the Fantasy League and also just round off WrestleMania in general. So we'll see you then, I guess.
Yeah, and who knows if it's going to be the three of us tomorrow night or if Rob's going to be busy again or whatever, but we'll try to get Rob's opinion about WrestleMania somewhere along the mix here. Even if we end up doing like a dark cast in a few days or something, we might. But, you know, stay tuned. Tomorrow night, we got another one of these. And in the meantime, chat it up on this video, chat it up on the website, go to the Discord, have some fun throughout the rest of Sunday. And we'll carry on and finish things up. But this has been the WrestleMania XL Saturday Night 1 post show. And thank you for joining us. And we'll see you later, everybody. But for now, this has been another Smark Out moment. And we are being counted out.